The sounds of your conversation are music to my ears. Thank you for being a warm and relational congregation. Welcome to worship. Before we begin, we always want to think about opportunities that lie ahead of us for living faithfully our life together. And I simply draw your attention to the white insert in your order of worship. Please look at what is offered there for your participation. You'll notice a couple of concerts coming up that are for good cause. Take note of those. Take note of learning opportunities available to all of us today and on other Sundays. And do note that our Board of Mission Action is now engaged in work with a couple who are refugees to our country, the Mohammed family. We are needing some volunteers to make certain offerings toward this group, this family. I invite you to look at that and to respond as best you can. Now the hour of worship begins. We still our hearts. We open them to all that the Spirit would give to us and ask of us. Let us worship God.
Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating this beautiful day. We ask you to help us to learn more about you and your ways today, so that we can live a life that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sovereign, let the people tremble.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is the Lord.
Lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness. Give praise and worship to the Lord our God. Holy is the Lord.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kevin Morgan. I am Zan Morgan's other half. Not the better half, but sometimes the essential half. I'm the one who works behind the scenes, supporting her in her work here at First Baptist. If she's the actor, I'm the tech crew, the music director, and the stage designer all bundled into one. I bring things on Sunday mornings when she realizes she could use that one thing from home for time as children. I proofread emails and newsletters. I wrangle the kids when she has an evening meeting and on Sunday mornings. Zan supports me in similar ways with my work.
Our give and take partnership is sustainable and effective. We've got it down to a science. He helps me and I help him. And without that partnership, life would be much harder. Since we were married, we have given financially to our church because that's how our parents had raised us. We have realized the benefits of a give and take relationship with our church community as well. We take often. We worship every Sunday, we enjoy church school and grow in faith, and we participate in the life of this church. We receive pastoral care, and we are recharged through Paul and Stacy's ministry. Our kids are learning about the character of God through song with Shanae and Marissa. We are grateful for the friendship and camaraderie we have experienced through our new small group. At First Baptist, we have been given the opportunity to serve others as a family. We keep these things in mind when we make our pledge and give.
The First Baptist community supports us and has become an essential thread of our family. Giving financially to support the mission of this church has been paired with gratefulness for what we've been able to take from it. We give and we take. Without financial support, the mission of this church is not possible. We encourage you to consider the things you take from this place when you plan your giving for the upcoming year. Remember the joy that you take from Sunday mornings when you make your pledge. Remember all the children in this community who take regularly. It is made possible by you and your pledge. Strengthen your partnership with First Baptist. Continue to give. Continue to take. We are all better for it.
A reading from 1 Thessalonians. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we've proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Loving God, you have called us into relationship with you. Your love is a catalyst for us to be vulnerable, to heal, to grow, and to be a light in the world. We ask, God, that you would use our relationship with you and with others to transform our own beings and to transform the world. We give you thanks for relationships we have here at church, for the love and support we experience through friendships, for the opportunities to praise your name as a church family, for the learning and growing we do together in church school classes. May your life-giving spirit transform the world. We give you thanks for the relationships we have outside of the church, for those with whom we work and solve problems, with whom we learn and challenge one another, with whom we play and relax. May your goodness transform the world. We lay before you our broken relationships. We apologize for the ways we hurt or disappoint the people we love and who love us. Give us strength to say we're sorry, to forgive, to decide to do better next time. May your forgiveness transform the world. We pray for those who have been or are currently in abusive relationships. We pray specifically for all those who have been sexually harassed or assaulted. We lift up to you all those who posted Me Too on social media this week, and for the 84 minors who were rescued from sex trafficking in our country this past weekend. We ask for your protection and for your justice. May your healing transform the world. We now pray for those whom we know to pray by name. For Nancy Rushton, Juanita Dearly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Peter Mortensen, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, Robert L., Sarah McAllister, Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Roman Ford, for Tim Wise, Donna Kemp, Julie Smith, Dave and Helen Swan, David, Claudia Lima, Allison Akum, for Kim and Jason Weaver, for Ava and Ray Goff, for all those who are struggling to find a place to belong in God's house, for Jim Terrace and Jim Johnson. We lift our prayers now silently as well. And now we pray together using the words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Now, if you're able, will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? In this reading, Jesus is in the city of Jerusalem, the setting apparently early in the last week of his life. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said, so they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar, or is it not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay the tax." And they presented to him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give then to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of the Lord. Be seated. It's my pleasure to invite the children forward.
Question for you. We usually start time as children with a question and a statement. You are a steward of many things. A steward. Huh. What do you take care of? A steward is somebody who takes care of things. Can you start listening off? I want to see how many things we can write up here that we take care of. What are some things that we care for? Alexandra. Oh, our twins. Okay, that's a unique one. Emmanuel. Oh, our muscles. Sure. So we do some strength training for our muscles. Samuel. Our pets. We take care of our pets. Okay. All right. Derek. Our health. Can you say more about that? Yeah, and what are some ways we take care of our health? What are some ways we take care of our health? Exercise, good. And not too much sugar. Good, that's right. That's a hard choice to make. All right, Layla. What do you do? What do you take care of? Your toys. We take care of our toys. Yeah, what else do we take care of? Asher. Your drone, okay? All right. Ivy, are you thinking about something you take care of?
No, but I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
I got to take care of a pet today.
Oh, you got to take care of a
pet. I got to.
Sometimes we take care of our friend's pet. Yeah. So sometimes we take care of our friend's pets. And you know what, Ivy? That's also taking care of our friends. That's a way of taking care of our friendships, being friends, taking care of our friends. Okay, what do you want to say? Can you guys listen? Let's listen to all of our ideas.
Taking care of my Barbies.
Oh, Barbies, okay. Good. Emmanuel?
We take care of our Wii U.
Yeah, okay. What kind of relationships do you take care of? We have friendships. What other kind of relationships do you take care of? Can you wait a second? Yeah. Avery, do you have one? Like friendships.
What do you think? Relationships. We take care of our relationships, sure. Sure. Our relationships in quotes. Yeah. How do we take care of our time? What are some ways we take care of our time? Alex, what do you think? What are some ways we take care of our time? What do you think? Emmanuel. You what? K-O. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to put it up there. Alexandra. Oh, I like that. Oh, we make a schedule. What are some ways we spend our time? What are some ways we spend our time that are ways of taking care of it? We make a schedule. I like that. What are some things that are important to fit into our schedule? Alex and Scotty. What are some things that are important to have in our schedule? Katarina? Homework.
No.
Oh, Alexandra. Our activities. So, there's a big list here. Derek, do you have one more you want to add? Okay, go ahead. Oh, basketball. Yeah, you are a... Yes, I know. You are doing lots of practice for basketball. You're taking that very seriously. So there are all kinds of things we're responsible for that we take care of. We have things that we take care of, relationships that we take care of. We take care of our time. We take care of our relationship with God by coming to church. That's being a steward, too. So the grown-ups are all thinking about what does it mean to be a good steward of their time and their resources, their money. And we're going to be thinking, too, us kids, about how we can make choices about the things we take care of, our friendships, our relationships, and our things. Will you pray with me? Will you put your hands on your knees like this, two hands?
And now you put them on your head.
Both hands on your head. Let's pray like that. Read after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. We love you, and we will show it by being good stewards of all that you've given us. Amen. Would you please, if you are turning in your hymnal, we had a slight typo. We're going to sing hymn 368. So will you go to hymn 368 now? And the children, we're going to use our walking feet to head to church school together.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have often heard people say the phrase, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." They say it referring to something that has to be given to the government. Often they say it in a tone of dry resignation because they're talking about paying taxes or giving something else that is not altogether pleasant that the government requires of us. But sometimes it's said as a serious reminder that we do have obligations to the state, the government, to our country, and we do. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But when you hear that well-known saying, what you don't hear, unless you're in church, maybe, is the rest of the quote, which actually changes the meaning of the whole thing. Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and unto God the things that belong to God. That is one of the most misunderstood statements that Jesus ever made. And the ones who have understood it most are, guess who? The Christians. But we had better understand it. And so today, let's have another go at hearing what it might want to tell us. There's a story behind it. And here it is. One day, when Jesus was in the temple, a bipartisan delegation walked up to him. In this group were representatives of two factions, Pharisees and a group called the Herodians. That second group were men who were supporters and associates of the local ruler called Herod, who had a very cozy relationship with the current emperor. The Pharisees resented the empire, while the Herodians relied on it. So these two groups most likely despised each other, especially on this issue. But for now, they have decided, as we say, to reach across the aisle to deal with the problem of Jesus, whom they all agreed was a threat. And so they devised a little trap for him. They start by shamelessly flattering him. "Rabbi, we know you are sincere, you truly teach the way of God, and your integrity is impeccable. Oh, please." And then they spring the question, "Is it right to pay taxes to the emperor, or is it not?" How is that a trap? Well, many of Jesus' followers hated the empire and hated the tax. The empire is a foreign oppressor that has taken over their country, and the taxes used to fund, among other things, the occupying army were crushing them. These people also believed that the Messiah must overthrow the Roman Empire. And so if Jesus says, yes, it's right to pay the tax to Caesar, they'll turn on him, abandon him. But if, on the other hand, he says, it's wrong to pay that tax, then what he has said is treasonous, and he's likely to be put to death. Rabbi, the taxation is the moral issue of the day. Would you please speak on the record? How do you stand? He looks at them and says, why are you doing this, you hypocrites? Hypocrites because their praise of him is false, and their avowed interest in what he has to tell them is false. Perhaps we should stop right there. Praise of him that isn't entirely meant. Coming to hear his word with no real intent to follow it. Might that describe us at least a little? If it does, then there is a place for us to take in that bipartisan delegation. He says, why are you doing this? Why the praise? And why the apparent concern, which in the end are faith? They've said, is it right to pay the emperor's tax? He says, show me the coin. He doesn't have a coin. But can't you see them all digging into their pockets to fish one out? Or maybe somebody has to run outside and fetch one, bring it in, because as we will see, that particular coin had no business being carried into the temple. But they've got it, and they show it. He says to them, now, whose image is on that coin, and whose title is on it? Does it dawn on them at this point that they have brought a coin inside the house of God with a graven image on it? When Scripture strictly forbids all graven images, as we tend to worship them, are they already blushing? But they tell him what he already knows. That is Caesar's image on the coin, and that is his title. They don't mention what the title says, but we know because many of those coins have survived. It says, Tiberius Caesar, son of divine Augustus and high priest. In other words, it says, the emperor is a god, and the emperor is your priest. Well, better give it to him, says Jesus. Sounds like it's his. Then he pauses and adds, and give to God what belongs to God. And with that, their eyes widen, and they walk away. Now, as you may know, many Christians have concluded that Jesus, right here, is recommending two legitimate loyalties, side by side. But that is a mighty strange domestication of the text. The emperor's coin is an emblem of arrogance and oppression. The opponents of Jesus have it in their hands. He's saying, look at the idolatrous claims of the empire and see how your own fingers are wrapped around it. Give it back. And what belongs to God, you give to God. That's his final word. Give to God what belongs to God. And what is that? It is everything. The entirety of our lives, our communities, our nations, the earth, the universe, all of it belongs to God. So all of it we render constantly and always and only to God. Now, having said those words, which we take to be his ultimate claim, we'll have to add that on the issue of what we owe the state ourselves, the end of it is more complicated. First, when Jesus spoke of Caesar, he was speaking not of his own country, but of a cruel foreign empire that occupied his country and oppressed it and much of the world, draining their resources for himself. We also admit that government is most certainly in many ways a positive good. Infrastructure, schools, safety nets for the vulnerable, protections for the poor, security, laws against those who will not act rightly, parks, public lands, a very great deal more. We rightly owe a great deal to the government, and all the more so if the government is actually committed to liberty and justice for all. But what we owe the state and what we owe to God are of an entirely different order to us. God's love, God's creation, God's truth, God's claim on our living are everything. All other loyalties are in its shadow and are held to its standards. And to lift up any institution, including the state, to some side-by-side arrangement is idolatrous and lethally dangerous. And as you well know, we live in a country with the long, long habit of confusing its claims with the claims of God. The guilty have been, guess who? The Christians, who love to dance with the state, would want to co-opt it, and are willing, apparently, to be co-opted by it. And that's what always happens. When the church gets in bed with the emperor always wins. A friend of mine told how his wife saw a church in Texas with three flagpoles outside, the middle one towering above the other two. They flew the Christian flag, the Texas flag, and the American flag. My friend said Jesus and Texas tied for second. Did you notice something that happened on the past inauguration day? When the ceremonies were done, hands on the Bible included, as always, and a record of six prayers prayed, two of them by famous, quote, Christian nationalists. After all that ended, the day was instantly declared a national day of patriotic devotion. Can you hear that? Devotion. The unmistakable language and pomp of idolatry. It is far from our only kind of idolatry. You and I must be very careful not to think that idolatry is somebody else's problem. Not with all the bowing we do to money and high education and privilege and pleasure and our success. Still, Jesus gave particular warning within the house of God about rendering to the emperor what ought to go only to God. All that we have and all that we are belongs only to God's loving purpose for us all. Which would mean that part of what we must render to Caesar is our witness, nationally and locally, of what we are persuaded God's way and God's will for our life together must be. We owe that to the emperor. Jesus ended that conversation in the temple by saying, "Give to God what belongs to God." Just 4 days later, the empire put him to death. Which is to say, Jesus rendered unto Caesar his own crucifixion. And in doing so, rendered to God his own offered life and the life of all the world, including my life and yours. 3 days later, the new creation broke through. Caesar's cross, it turns out, was impotent. So much for the empire. And the Christ who eternally lives still gazes on the coin in our hands and says to us, "I think with joy, you give to God all that belongs to God." That, dear friends, is and should always remain for us the final word. Every Sunday we do this thing of the passing of the plates, and some people actually put something in it, but those who don't, it remains a symbol of all that we have to give and must give to the purpose of God in our own lives, in this community, in the world. Let us then give with glad and generous hearts.
Open. Oh, penalty we owe, every claim laid upon our lives. We yield to your love and the purpose of your glory forever and in us now for all the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed in the everlasting love of God, let us extend to each other the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. The peace of Christ be with you.
dear friend.